we searched for 9.5 months. And let's see. We found trees big enough for the size that we needed to build the hulls of this canoe from our forest, but none of them were healthy enough. So what we found in our forest was a really sad story, that we can't build a single canoe today. That 90% of our koa forest, the koa is the traditional preferred wood, hardwood in Hawaii's forest. 90% has been cut down, and much of it's been replaced by cattle. So 9.5 months, we couldn't find these trees. We couldn't find it. And it was like the first voyage that we took that we didn't find our destination. And it was very painful to us. Hoover, when he visited the Hawaiian Islands, wrote in his logbook that he measured a canoe that was 108 feet long on the island of Kauai. And it's twice the length of our canoe, Hokulea. And it was made out of, in his writing, made out of the finest pine. Pine is not native to the Hawaiian Islands. And so when he asked the chief where the trees come from, he said, they came from the gifts of the gods. They were driftwood logs. And we suspect these trees would have to be, because it was pine from the Pacific Northwest. And then how I got involved was a single phone call from one of our elders that had a great friendship with one of the Tlingit elders in Southeast Alaska. His name is Judson Brown. And he just said, okay, we will get you your trees to build your canoe to carry your culture, but you need to talk to this man, to Byron Malott, who is the CEO of Sea Alaska. And on that phone call, I wasn't there, but I was told that Byron basically said, okay, we'll give you the trees. And but he had three conditions. And one was, don't ever ask us how much it costs and it's not a gift. And he said, don't ever bring these trees back. Once we give it to you, you are responsible for those trees. And his third comment was that we're not giving you trees and just wood. We're giving the children our children, that our relationship over 12,000 years in Alaska is about making sure the things of the forest and the oceans are family, so we take care of them. That was a profoundly important statement as to why we're there now. It's about celebration of family. Ernie Hillman took a tape measure out and measured the tree and said, look, this tree, we found it for you. This is your specifications. This is what you wanted. And he was stern with me and strict. And I really appreciated that. And he says, shall we cut it down? And I told him no. And so he got more quiet. I did too. I flew back home to the board of directors in Honolulu. And this is the difference. Yeah, the board of directors get their monthly pamphlets, and all they see is a project and wood. But what I saw was the difference between what's wild and what's full of life, and what's still free and powerful of the Alaskan forest compared to the depression of ours. And I just couldn't cut the trees down. The ability to take the trees required that Alaskans and Hawaiians and people in Hawaii come together and they start replanting our forests. So the Alaskans came to Hawaii, and for one weekend, we planted 18,000 koa trees, fenced it off to keep the pigs and the cattle out. And that forest, it's just a promise, right? We made a promise.
One question I had that stood out to me from things I've read so far about the trip up to Yakutat is that it was the first time they welcomed a yak or a canoe in 100 years. And I think this voyage sits at this really interesting moment in Southeast Alaska. Watching it, people are starting to have these experiences and moments that they're building and working towards that they haven't had in 100 years. So can I ask, like, why start from Juneau? Why go up to Yakutat before this journey?
We view, and Alaskan view, that the oceans is what connects us, and that we're all Pacific Oceans people. And we are family of the ocean, and that we are family with each other. I want to come to Alaska. I want to capture their stories. I want them to tell us about their genealogy of 12,000 years, and how they figured out all the things that we can't in modern day, like sustainability and balance and so forth. How did they do that? Because the evidence is that their country, Alaska, is in relative terms compared to a place like Hawaii, extraordinarily healthy. I look in Alaska, all I see is life, where I don't in Hawaii anymore. So in our opinion, Alaska is an extraordinary school.
What's unique about the Hokulea?
She doesn't have any motors, that's for sure, but she would be the first canoe that was constructed of best guess. There are no blueprints left anymore. Enormous amount of research back in the early 70s to come up with a design of what the voyaging canoes might have been looked like. And so she's a unique design. She's powered by the wind solely. We have no engines. But what's most unique about this canoe, it carries the students of the earth. And what it does, it allows us to go into nature and try to find our way by just being a part of nature. They found a man by the name of, his name is Pialut, but his nickname is Mao. Mao means to be fierce. So make a long story short, he came to Hawaii, agreed to sail in Hokulea with a crew he's never met and go on a voyage 6 times longer than any voyage he's ever taken. And on a canoe, it's 8 times bigger. And it would cross the equator where you'd see southern stars that he's never seen before. And he's going to find that island by using nature. And he did. 31 days later from leaving Honolulu Bay, Maui on May 1st, 1976, 31 days later, they arrived in Papeete, Tahiti. Miracle. But why is Hokulea so unique? Because it carried the master, Mao, found Tahiti, and changed the Pacific world. Navigation, voyaging is taught all over the Pacific now because of that man. I mean, Bon, you know, we didn't know anything. We didn't know how to sit. We didn't know how to stand. We didn't know how to look. We didn't know how to sleep. You know, we didn't know anything, nothing. And so all we did for 25 years was watch him and talk to him and be with him. And he told me, he'd laugh at me and go, you know, I want to take you back to all my islands, and half the people are going to like you and half the people are not going to like you because I give you the navigation. But what he was saying was, I give you the navigation and you have responsibility to this navigation. And that responsibility, ultimately, very simple, is to teach, because we have learned over time that the way you stop extinction is to make your students better than you. That's how you stop it.
Can I just ask, are you nervous at all?
I'm always scared. I'm not a courageous person. You know, the triggers to get me to commit to something of this kind of risk, the big question always is your purpose and your intent greater than the risk you're putting people in? There's two key pieces: training. And then the other is having the intelligence about nature in a changing hot world, on a hot earth. But here's where I get scared. Because these young people I talk about, if I ask them, hey, you want to go? You want to sail from the Cook Islands in New Zealand through the intertropical convergence zone? They're going to say yes. Because they believe in two things. One is... that they're going to be a part of something much greater than themselves. And two, it's safe, because leadership would never ask them to go if it wasn't safe. That's why I'm scared. I'm scared. And because they would go. They would blindly go. So we're going to watch it and make the right decision.
And thank you for sharing so much of your time with me. I think I'll probably see you next weekend.
Okay, Yvonne, you take care. See you soon.